Blog Talk Radio.
This is a new show that God gave my wife concerning family. I'll let her explain all of that. I'm Elder Bluette. She is Evangelist Bluette. And I want to tell you, first off, we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So whatever may come out of her mouth after this, put your hands by your ears so you can cover them up if you need to. So I'm going to try to rein her in if she get out there.
Amen,
she's my precious, girlfriend and my precious wife. But I do want to read a piece of scripture before we get started, and I'm going to turn it over to her. Again, welcome. So I want to read the 91st chapter of Psalms, verse 1 through 4, real quickly. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with the feather, with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Amen. All right, sweetie, it's
amen.
Your hands.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. This is Keeping It Real Radio, or this is Chaos Blog Talk Radio with the Bluettes, a.k.a. the Royal Blues. We're coming, we live here in Georgia, where our neighbors are some horses, cows, goats, and a pack of, and our streets are windy with no lights. So if you're driving with no headlights, you might catch a deer in them. But anywho, my name is Ricky Bluette. My husband already introduced himself. We're just trying to spread hope to this dying world that's trying to live without Jesus Christ. And being here in Georgia, well, let me just go back. We're just gonna start this segment, our first segment, with telling you who we are, where we came from, how many kids we have, and some of the things that we'll, some of the topics that we'll be talking about. First of all, me and my husband, we met in South Central Los Angeles. I am his high school sweetheart. I was in high school; he wasn't. He's a few years older than me, and one's almost 40. She's in prison right now, and we'll go into that one day, you know, while she's there. And I have a 27-year-old. I think he's 28 by now. But anyway, my oldest is a junior. He's married with two kids. I have a middle daughter. I missed a son. My baby boy, he just got out of prison last year. He did almost, he did 5 years, served 25 years with two life sentences, and God
blessed us with his presence right before Christmas last year. And then I have my middle daughter, Vanessa. She's in, she took a break from college. She's in TSU for psychology. She wants to be a behavior specialist, but she's taking a break right now. I'll tell you about their businesses later on. And then I have my baby girl. She actually died, and God told me to tickle the bottom of her feet, and yeah, we'll go into that as well. So we have a lot to be thankful for. And she has, my oldest daughter, she has three kids. Well, she's in prison for one that's deceased. And my baby girl, she has a daughter. She had her child at 13. And all this happened while we were in the church, serving, not just in church, but serving the Lord faithfully. Faithfully. You hear me? Faithfully. And not just serving the Lord faithfully, but involved in our kids' lives. My husband was a coach. He was a baseball coach for the kids when they were smaller. Always been a provider. He's been providing for us, you know, since day one. I've never had to pay any bills. We never had to borrow, beg, or steal from anybody. He's always been a good provider, always kept a job. As a matter of fact, he served some years in the military, got out of the military, went to Comcast, and been there ever since. Received his retirement package a couple of years ago, but he hasn't accepted them yet. So we just, you know, that's another story as well that we will be talking about. We wasn't always saved. We hadn't always been in the church. I think I was introduced in almost 30. And he got baptized right before we got married in the 80s. So he's been saved longer than I have. But we hadn't always followed Christ at that time. When he first got saved, and he joined the military to get us away from my crazy folks in California, and we started our journey in North Carolina, Fayetteville, North Carolina, to be exact, where I truly got saved under the leadership of my apostle Gary B. McLaurin, and I was in my late 20s at that time. From there, we moved here to Georgia. And it's been challenging. It's been some things, you know, and everybody think it was easy in the world, but hard because you always had to look over your shoulders because of the lifestyle that we was living. And if I would have known it was going to be this easy, but challenging, but and to push me into greatness, I would have done it a long time ago. I am my kids' example. My husband and I are our kids' example on how to treat people, how to love, how to give, how to provide, how to take care of each other and family. But when it all boils down to it, hey, you can adopt some kids and choose different kids, but family is family. And it just depends on who you call family. Blood don't necessarily always have to be family. You don't always have to have the same blood to be family or consider people as family. But our family is very tight-knit. And I know for a fact that we wouldn't be as close-knit as we are if we didn't have Christ, because both of me and my husband was going down the wrong road in raising our first child. And God has really spared our lives several times. And we will talk about some of those things in some of our segments. We will be having some deep discussions about real life issues and marriages with real life issues, children with real life issues. And I'm just looking forward to just sharing our journey with you guys, because this has been a journey, and I wouldn't trade nothing. I wouldn't change anything. Oh, yes, I would if I could have got saved earlier. But then it wouldn't have pushed me to get saved. So, no, I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't change anything. Everything was supposed to happen that happened. Everything that's going to happen is going to happen. We can't worry about what we can't fix, but fix the things that we can. And I just hope, well, I know this show is going to bless a lot of people, because a lot of people are hurting. They're looking for answers. And the church is not talking about a lot of these things that that people, real people, are going through. And I'm not saying that, you know, people in the church don't have real issues. It's just, it seems like nobody's talking about the real issues that's, you know, that people have in the church. What am I talking about? Sex and kids. About me and my husband being saved and raising our kids, were they all saved in the church? Were they saved? I would hope they were. I can't say, you know, that they wasn't. I can't say that they were. But if anybody noticed, when we were in church, we didn't always take communion. And my kids know you don't take communion, which some people probably don't know what communion is. It's a little wine and a little thing that we do in church. It's supposed to be every time you think of, well, no, I won't say think. The tradition is first Sunday. Some people use real wine and crackers. Some people just use grape juice and crackers. But my kids, it's in remembrance of Christ and what he did for us, shedding the blood. But my kids know, and I know, and my husband knows, we do not take communion. You know, if we feel that we're not worthy. We were in a church one time, and one of the person that my daughter was sitting by, I believe she told her she couldn't take communion. And but the Bible said, examine yourself. So if she felt like she was worthy of taking it, who are we to judge, you know, anybody? You know, because the word do say, examine yourself. Not the pastor, not the person that's sitting next to you. But that's some of the things that we'll be talking about. What is saved? I've been hearing that since I've been saved. What is saved? What are you saved from if you still raising hell and causing havoc? You know, what is saved? You know, we're going to be talking about some things on Thursday nights at 7 o'clock. We do love the Lord, and I do believe that all my kids do love the Lord. They may have strayed away, but the Bible let us know also, train up a child in the way they should go. You know, not saying that they're going to always do, because we don't always do what's right. So how we expect our kids to? So we put a lot of pressure on, and I've seen it over and over and over again in church. You know, but you can't speak to me, but you want your kids to, you know, treat the next person right, or not to, you know, disrespect adults, but you're disrespectful, you know. So it's going to be a lot of topics that we're talking about on this show. And then marriages, we'll talk about marriages. Pretty much, I really want to touch on raising kids right now because kids are having it hard. I had another individual that was institutionalized. Again, you know, and it's so many young people they're not themselves anymore since this COVID. COVID has really took a toll on our kids. Even before COVID.
Hey,
but COVID has really, yeah.
What do you mean by institutionalized? Is that part of your business?
Well, it's part of my business, but that happened today. It was part of my business, but some church folk, some outside of my work, I've heard other kids, normal, I won't call them normal, I could say kids that seem to be normal or haven't had any mental health issues before. You see more of it now, but nobody's talking about it and nobody's giving anybody answers or hope. We're just letting the doctors just tell our kids or tell us, you know, how our kids, I won't even say how their kids, but just put them on medication, I should say. They just want to put our kids on medication.
Why don't you explain to people what you own and what you do?
Well, I really don't want to get into that now. I want to do it later because I'm really addressing the church. We're losing our kids to mental health, but nobody's talking. My daughter that just turned 18. She graduated at 16. She was under a lot of stress 2 years ago. I'll use her for an example. She was always laid back. You know, you would never know she was in the house. She was, you know, very quiet, you know, kind of, I would say withdrawn. She was just herself. That was her personality, just quiet and really didn't say much. But she had a child. She was working, going to school, and trying to raise a child. When COVID hit, I really believe that the stress pushed her over the edge, and that's where the inflammation, it triggered something that was already there, the stress. And she wanted to graduate, and I thought she didn't have to graduate at the time. She was already 2 years ahead. And I let her know, you don't have to graduate now. Why do you feel like you have to graduate right now? She said, because what people say. And it's so much peer pressure out here with kids. It's nothing. I mean, I can't understand it. And it's probably not for me to understand. But I will say this. If we don't open up our eyes and reach out to these kids and meet them where they are, forget about the world's expectations and the high standards that we put on kids. I can't say I put any standards. I mean, they reach their own bars. But so many parents put the high bars on their kids, you know, and just like I told her, you don't have to graduate right now. If you want to take off 2 years, you can. And she graduated at 16. And I can say she graduated. She wrote a letter to her teachers telling them that she wanted to do summer school because she just couldn't focus. Her mind was racing. And she wasn't turning in her work. And her counselors was calling me and was like, what's wrong with Aja? Aja's not, you know, turning in her work. That's not like her. So, you know, I started asking her questions, and she just started getting, you know, like foggy and preaching and clapping real loud and singing. I mean, singing her heart out. Tasha Cobb's I forget the name of the song right now, but it, she just kept singing the same song over and over, over and over. So I, she was seeking counseling, and that's another thing. If you feel like your child is not themselves, seek counseling. Seek counseling, please. Seek some kind of counseling, because she was in counseling and was helping. So I called her counselor and I called her therapist and asked her, you know, what can I do? You know, she's not asking herself. And she told me to take her to Summit Ridge, which is out here, is a mental hospital. And to make a long story short, because I wanted to talk about this later, but I really want you guys to really listen and to just take heed, because there's so many kids out here that's not acting themselves. Don't shove it up under the rug. Don't let them tell you that, you know, your child is mental. No, it's more than that. Okay, this is, if you're not prayed up, if you don't seek God for guidance, I seek God every day for my child, and he answered me every day. And my husband will tell you, I would not let them put all them drugs in my child. I had to literally hold her at night. Hold her, like hold, bear her, just hold her, so she wouldn't hurt herself or hurt the staff. And this went on for a month and a half. My child couldn't speak. She couldn't swallow. She was drooling. She couldn't swallow. She couldn't walk. She couldn't talk, and they wanted to put Pampers on her, and she had to keep them on for about a week, and I told them no, and I'll get her up, take her to the bathroom myself. They told me that they couldn't do it, which was fine. When this child died in the middle of the night, when I tried to go to sleep, when she first got there, God woke me up out of my sleep, and let me backtrack. When 2 days when she was in the hospital is when she died. And I hadn't had any sleep. And one of the nurses told me to go ahead and, you know, try to lay down for a little while. And when I did, the doctors and nurses was over my child maybe a couple of hours after I had fell asleep. They were over my child. Come on, Asha, come on. We don't want to go down the road. We don't have to. I'm like, what's going on? I woke up out of my sleep. I said, what's going on? My husband didn't even know none of this was going on. I didn't share this with him at all until after the fact. So they were over her and was trying to get her, you know, to come back. God said, go tickle the bottom of her feet. When I tickled the bottom of her feet, they told me, the other nurses, let's take her to ICU. We got her. So they took her to ICU, and she stayed there for a while. And they did the MRIs, they did, you know, all kind of blood work, and come to find out that she had a new disease that had been out only, how many years was it? Was it 10 years?
A disease known to mankind 10 years. But
right,
really no,
mankind,
no
correct.
Cure, no nothing.
So the cures to this disease that they gave, that they diagnosed my daughter with, the cure is a bunch of drugs, psychotic drugs. They make them tired, sleepy, so they won't run. Because if you didn't know any better, you would think she had bipolar or she was schizophrenia, because she was just that, you know, out of it, just preaching. They call it psychosis. She was preaching, clapping real loud, but they're going to hell. You know, that's why God brought COVID in this world, because people won't do right. I mean, she was preaching the whole time. I was laying hands. I wrestled with her about a week. And my husband, poor baby, he was just, I don't think he's never seen anything like this. I'm used to it. God raised me to know exactly what to do. And this is why I say God is intentional. There's no way he would have conditioned me if he didn't already know the beginning to the end of your life. And whatever we go through, it's for a purpose. all the training. I've never even went to school for the training that I have. I was training the nurses and doctors. I was training them on how to take care of my child and what they was not going to do. We have to get involved in these kids' lives, find out where they are, what they're thinking, you know. And when I tell you, God is so good.
Ricky, I need you to tell everybody what you do for a living, that you own three or four businesses in this area.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say I work with special needs youth and adults. I work with special needs youth and adults. My mom, she's a social worker. She's I've just been around her all my life, watching her, you know, the patience that she had with people. Special needs used to follow me home from school when I was little. I've always been around, and I was always drawn to special needs since I was a little girl. And that's why I keep saying God is so intentional with our lives. He knows exactly what you need when you need it. He never would have trained me since I was a little girl. Well, let's get on that instead of talking about, because I wanted to talk about Aja later. Since I've been a little girl, I've been, special needs was always drawn to me. It was this one guy named Abba, my brother's friend from Carver Park. He had a glass eye, and all the little kids were scared of him in the pool. And you know how your eyes turn red when you're in the chlorine in the pool. So everybody was scared of this young man. He would come up to the little kids and just splash water in their face, and the kids would run from him. And he came over to me and splashed water, and I splashed water back at him. So he splashed water at me, and I splashed it back. And that was our connection. He taught me sign language. He would come over to the house and spend hours with me. And this was an older guy. He probably was about 10 years older than I was, but it was my brother's friend. From that day, it was just a connection with him and I. And my mom would have to make him go home at night because we just had that connection. And it was nothing sexual. He never, tried anything with me. He was just intrigued, I guess, because I wasn't scared of him. Everybody else was scared of him because of his glass eye. But anyway, we also had a cousin that had Down syndrome that I was drawn to. It was just always, I was always drawn to special needs, even when I was a little girl. But back to my daughter. I really didn't want to get into the stories of my kids right now, but just to show you how intentional God is, you know, he's very intentional. And if you don't get anything else from this segment, just know that God has a purpose for everybody, good, bad, and the ugly. It's some good in everybody. I don't care how bad they are. It's some good in them. We as Christians, as believers, have to stir up that gift, pull those gifts out. That's our job here on this earth, is to draw. How can God do the drawing if we're not his feet and his mouthpiece and doing, the things that God called us to do? And that's another thing. When my daughter was in the hospital, I stayed up there every day. Didn't leave the hospital. Would my husband come relieve me and go feed the homeless? I still had an obligation. I didn't go to work. But God, I had to go feed the homeless. I had to. My kids held down the fort. But I was doing the job that God told. I wasn't going to have my kids to do it because when God tells you to do something, it's not always for everybody to help you with it. Let's get that. Let me say that again. When God gives you a vision, I'm not going to say don't ask people, but don't think everybody is going to support or supposed to support what God called you to do. Prime example, I was an in-home child care provider for years. Raised a set of triplets and a little girl with Down syndrome. They was getting ready to do whatever. And I said, God, what do I do now? So I started watching this other young man on the weekend, and he didn't want to go home. So one of my friends told me that her aunt had a building that she was getting ready to get rid of, and she needs somebody to take over the payment. This is something else. When I tell you God is strategically setting us up, if we just want willing vessels, just willing vessels. I didn't have a dime to my name. Went over there, looked at the building, called the lady who had the building, told her what I wanted to do with the building. She told me no. She wanted to keep it like it was. And that was the field that my oldest daughter was in. So I told my oldest daughter, you know, come over here and look at the building. She came over there. They wanted $3,000 for the building. This was in 2009. They wanted $3,000 for the building. Okay? Listen, when you walk in and ask God every morning to order your steps, touch people's hearts that can make decisions on your behalf, when I tell you, I wasn't even praying that prayer at the time. I was just going. I was just being obedient to what God told me to do. My daughter didn't want it because it was $3,000. It was too much. I didn't want it because I couldn't turn it into what I wanted to do with the building. Okay. God told me to go ahead and clean that building like it was my building. We painted, me and my husband. My husband was with me. He, as a matter of fact, he's the one who buffed the floors. He buffed the floors and then buffed them and put the, what was it, wax back on them, on the floors. I painted, brought some pictures, put on the wall. And mind you, I'm doing weekends with this young man who didn't want to go home, right? Okay. I get a knock on the door at the building. Looking for the lady who owns the building. She wasn't there. I started talking to the lady. Why it was the person who I was working on the weekend, it was his God, divine connections. Pray for divine connections every day as well. Divine connection. Do you know if I wouldn't have been obedient to clean that building, not like so, oh, I'm not cleaning that building, Dad. I'm not. No. Listen to God. The devil not going to tell you to do something that's going to help somebody else. So I met her. The lady who owned the building told me it was another building around the corner. Go talk to the man. Went to go talk to the man. I told her, I don't have any money. She said, just go talk to him. He probably worked them out with you. I was going, and this is another thing that we do. Judge people. I was going through a thing with Indian men at the time. I had a couple of incidents with Indian men, you know, being disrespectful, came into my hotel room when I was, my husband had just left. He came in there when I was just got out the shower, you know, and some more things happened with, anyway, it was just, I put my guards up with Indian men. I went and met with the guy. He was an Indian. I'm not getting the building. God convicted me right then and there. I had to go back, humble myself, get your feelings out the way, go talk to the person. All Indians are not the same. All black people not the same. All white people not the same. We put up these prejudices, you know, and we want, I'm not even going to get there. We're going to talk about that too, about prejudice in the black community. But we're the most hypocritical people in, okay. But anyway, so I talked to the guy, told him I didn't have any money. He ended up giving me the building. To make a long story short, I was in that building until it was time for me, somebody wanted to buy the building to push me back on my side of town. I skipped a whole bunch because it's another topic that I want to talk about that's tied into that as well. But when I said it to say that God is so intentional, and if we just be obedient and willing vessels, he is setting us up. He put in my spirit when the coronavirus 2 years ago that this is the Kairos moment. He is pouring out. I mean, I'm telling you guys, whatever you thought to do and wanted to do, this is the time to do it. This is the time to do it. Whatever it is, if it's painting fingernails or whatever, do it. Find out what everybody is not doing in that field and do it. Do it the best that you know how. God will show you how. I still don't know what I'm doing. I still don't know what I'm doing. But guess what? Can't nobody touch me in this field. Nobody. I'm looking for a third van right now, a 15-passenger van. I need another one. I still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm doing it. Go not knowing. Go scared. Because if God do it, you know it didn't have nothing to do with you. You knew it didn't have. If you knew how to do everything that you wanted to, why do we need God if you know everything? Still don't know what I'm doing. I stepped out on faith, and when I tell you, when you can get these scriptures in your, I don't even believe a lot of Christians believe the word of God. How? And we still live in defeated and still preaching and teaching the same messages our forefathers were preaching. See any results? Where are the results? In your faith. We letting the enemy just come and snatch what God told us from out of, from up under us. And want to blame, you know, other, no. We have to keep our eyes on the prize. Because distractions will come. Trust me, when we finish the first month of these segments, when we go over some of these topics with how are we dealing with, you know, teenage pregnancies, my daughter, we are tight knit family. My daughter, my middle daughter was battling depression like really, really bad. Really bad. Okay? Depression, drug abuse, what were the other topics? I can't even think of the topic. Marriages. Oh, my goodness. So many people are giving up on their marriages. You know, Christians giving up on their marriages. Come on now. We can't lose our marriages and our husbands and our wives to, you know, to the enemy. Nobody wants to fight for who they love and what they love. This generation, I'm not sure. I blame the church. I do. I blame the church. Because we make it seem like we're not preaching, you know, the things, real life issues that goes on, you know, in the church. And why is it happening? Because we want to fill up the churches. You know, we want to fill them up, fill up the pews, but not deal with the real issues that people are having. To deal with the issues, or the issues that deal with you. And I do believe that our family is still standing strong right to this day because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, I know it for a fact. Okay? I know it for a fact. When you start binding those spirits, my husband don't believe in generational curses, but I'm going to tell you this. I bind things that haunted my family. You recognize what the problem is, start binding it, and loosen the opposite. It works. trust me, or my family wouldn't even be a family right now. When I tell you God is so intentional and he deals with us with real life issues, bring us out for us to tell about it. When my son got out of prison last year, you know how intentional God is. My daughter was sentenced on the same exact date. Really? No. Yes. The same exact date, God. The same exact date. The same day he got out. I kid you not. I'm not making these stories up. I'm not making them up. And we have lots more to share with you guys. But the segments are only but an hour. We have so many testimonies, so many miracles, so many how God worked. My sister called me. She's in California, Ruth Jones. I love her the life. My sister called me. Ricky, you need to get home right now. Mom's in the ICU. We don't think she's going to make it. Do you know, after that phone call, the next following morning when I'm preparing to go home, my dad died from a massive heart attack, and only issue he had was gout. When I got there on that Wednesday, I told them, she had that death gurgle in her chest. They wanted to put a feeding tube in her because she wasn't eating. And they had to get her some. I told them no. Put it down her nose. Went in there. Told them to sit my mother up. They said, man, we can't do that. I have it on video. They said, I told them to sit my mom up. They said, we can't do that. She's in critical condition. They can't do it. I sat my mother up. I sat her up. Got it on video. Do you know, my mom, vital signs almost went to normal? That was on that Wednesday. My brother flew in from North Carolina. Why was he feeding her with her Pittsburgh Steelers on, watching her Pittsburgh Steelers game on Sunday? And my brother was feeding her. In ICU. God is still in the miracle business. He's still doing it. He just wants willing and obedient vessels to carry this thing through. Went to a revival last week, and I love this. I forget the guy's name. He said, tag, you're it. I'm passing the mantle to everybody that's listening. Tag, you're it. It's time out for letting the devil wreak havoc in our marriages, in our families, in our schools. You know, it's time to stand up. And I do believe. Go ahead. Did she want to say something? Vanessa, want to say something?
Hey.
This is my daughter. This is my middle daughter, well, Vanessa.
Wait. Mommy, were you done?
No, go ahead.
Okay. Hi, I'm Vanessa. I'm the middle daughter. I just wanted to say, like, since we're on the topic of family, well, one, I want to say hopefully at some point we hear from all my siblings. Everybody's on here. Hopefully nieces, nephews on here one day too. But since we're on the topic of family, I just wanted to share, like, yes, we are very tight-knitted. We are very close. And I just want to say that even if you feel like there isn't hope for your family, it was a point where I couldn't stand none of them. Like, I couldn't stand nobody in there. I just felt like it was no hope for a lot of stuff that was just going on. But I just want to say that, you know, with being intentional, with wanting to build relationships again, spending that family time again, bringing back family dinners, and how I used to have family meetings. I used to call family meetings from my family and write on a piece of paper, put it under everybody's door, family meeting at 7 tonight, to be intentional with building building your family together. Or, you know, hearing my parents go back and forth, you know, because there are disagreements, I would, you know, try to step in and just, hey, what about this or what about this? You know, just being intentional with bringing family back together and that togetherness. So I just want to encourage, if somebody's hearing this and they're like, you know, well, my family's broken, you know, there's always hope. You know, putting God as that core and praying and believing in your prayers and having that faith behind it to back it up really does, you know, you see results and you see that push. Because like she said, I did a real bad depression of just not having them around and just, you know, realizing how important family is or whatever, you know. So just, you know, being intentional about wanting your family to come back together and just have that togetherness and that bond that you see other people with, you know, it's possible for you too. Or even like my mom shared also, family doesn't always have to be blood. Like, you know, build that bond with people around you that do love you and care about you, you know. So, yeah, just being intentional with building relationship and praying and believing in your prayers and having that faith. So, yeah, that's what I wanted to share.
And there's nothing wrong with disagreeing. And I do believe the first two can't resolve issues. You know, I won't say can't, but have a difficult time resolving issues, because me and my husband didn't display how, 'cause we always resolved our issues in the bedroom. If we had a disagreement, we would, you know, talk about it later. With the last two kids, the two girls, we argue in front of them. We let them see. I mean, we argue. We don't argue anymore because the argument was about them and all of them are out the house now. But when we did, we argued in front of them so they could see how to resolve and see that marriage is work. Marriage is not just, you know, all roses all the time. Like the other two, our first two think, you know, that we didn't argue. So they, you know, they think, or they thought that they wasn't, you know, marriage is just going to be always happy, because that's what we displayed in front of our kids. But if you keep doing the same thing and getting the same results, you might want to switch it up. Especially when it has to do with raising kids. And our biggest argument was about the kids. If I tell the kids to go clean the room, what would your dad say? Come right behind me.
We would, right now, we would purposely, like, you know, wait till my daddy come upstairs so that he'll tell us, just go to bed. You don't got to do it. Just go to bed.
See, y'all wrong. Y'all wrong now. See, they're wrong. And in the case of arguing, I will only argue for 5 minutes, and I'm done.
No, you were definitely, you were done. I wasn't done.
I would only argue for 5 minutes, and I'm done, and that would make you mad.
It would make me very mad, because I wanted to argue. I didn't want to argue. I wanted to say what I had to say. And for you to understand, stop doing that. And you never did. That's why I got rid of all the beds in the house, except for ours. And that high bunk bed that everybody have to climb up to get into, they don't want to come here and stay. I put beds on the side of the road. And, yeah, got rid of all the kids. They're all in one house. They live together now.
So me and my wife live by ourselves now. We have no kids in the house.
And we get along so well.
She has taken everything out of the house that would make it comfortable for kids when they come over. So my kids will come over anyway and sleep and be with their dad.
And you know what? We have less arguments. Matter of fact, we don't even really argue anymore. And if it is, it's because he let them come over without me knowing Or if I said no, they can't come over today because I have plans with my husband. And that's where our arguments are. Because he can't say no to his kids. And I always told him, if we ever get a divorce, it'll be because of your kids. And guess what? I almost went there. I almost went there. And we're going to talk about that, too. I almost went there. But thank God for Jesus.
You know, they say something about it for marriage, that a wife won't leave you for nothing else, and she might leave you for the kids. That means the husband loves the kids the most.
Which is not right. It's not right. You said cleave to your wife, not your kids.
Stay next to me while I love my kids. You be clinging.
Yeah, there you go. See that we now y'all know this was gonna get deep because we had some knockdown dragouts. And with his hands down, and he don't want to argue, but I was gonna punch him in his head for his kids. But it's okay.
So in the next segment, we're gonna have all the kids over here while we do that segment.
Sure. And let them all show or tell the whole world how they played each other. That'll be our next segment. How kids play both parents against each other. How about that?
That's fine. That's fine. You got to have a well-rounded atmosphere, you know. You beat them, I love them.
Well, not anymore. Both of my rotator cuffs are repaired, and I promise God I'm not going to tear these up.
I love you, sweetie.
I love you more. But we are the Bluettes. We love God. We love family. We love people. And we just want to give sound advice. We just going to try to wrap it up. And did you want to pray us out, sweetie?
No. I enjoyed this first segment. I'm sure it's going to be very, very interesting going forward. But as you can see, my wife, she can put it out there now. She got a lot to say, and I love her to death. So I think we've been married now. If Jasmine's almost 40, that makes us married going on 35 years. So, but yeah, just have if you don't have anything else to say, I want Vanessa to pray us out.
Okay, Mommy Ben.
I'm not done, but I'm going to stop.
Okay.
Because he went out of bounds.
Okay, well, Father God, in the name of Jesus, thank you, God, for another day. Thank you for this opportunity for our family to speak of you and preach more love and more positivity and help to community and everyone around us. I thank God for, thank you guys for just allowing us to pour, for you to, thank you for pouring into us so that we can pour into others. Thank you for being here, holding our hand every step of the way so that we can be here to encourage. So thank you God again for this opportunity. Thank you God for every listener. I pray that everybody was touched by something that was heard. I pray that everybody feels like they can take a few more steps. I just thank you, God, again so much for this opportunity and this space and this atmosphere. Thank you for Elder Oliver and his family. Thank you, God, for just, like I said, this opportunity because I can just see and feel the shifts that are about to happen. So I thank you, God, in advance. Tonight, I just pray and ask you for you to cover every listener. I pray for you to cover all of us. as we continue this journey of life, God, I pray that you protect every listener, protect us, people that may never hear us again, just heard us this one time. God, I pray that you just bless their life. In Jesus' name I pray. God, like I said, thank you again. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I pray for protection and love and joy to continue to flow through everybody on this radio show tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Real quick, Nani, did you want to read how they can reach it, you guys? Well, real quick. My baby boy has a clothing line. I don't want to share the name right now because he has to get it patented. Okay, the next episode. We'll go through that the next episode because we're out of time. Love you guys. Thank you for participating, for listening. And, yeah, thank you guys.